بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today we're going to be completing بإذن الله تعالى the first lesson from the level 4 course, lesson number 18, as we read from Lessons in Arabic Language, Medina Book 2, Medina Book 3, Level 4. Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Now, so according to the suggested schedule for homework assignments last week, we should have reviewed the final lesson from the level 3 course, lesson 17, the English key, just the first point, which deals with the bab af'ala, yani al-thulathi al-mazid, bab af'ala. We should have reviewed that. And again, the purpose of reviewing the first point from the English key of lesson 17, the final lesson from level 3 course, the purpose of reviewing it is, as I mentioned last week, why we were reviewing lesson 16. Because those two lessons, 16 and 17, specifically the points related to bab fa'ala in lesson 17 and bab af'ala, Bab Fa'ala in lesson 16 and Bab Af'ala in lesson 17, that these are the introductory chapters that we're going to be following up with in the chapters, yani in lots of chapters in that remain or that are ahead of us in the fourth level. So we're going to be doing, yani in every chapter that follows, we're going to be doing for the next 7 or 8 chapters, we're going to be doing thulathi mazid forms of the verb, just as we did in lesson 16 and 17, bab fa'ala and bab af'ala. So in the coming lesson 19, we're going to be doing bab fa'ala. So the same format that was used in lesson 16 and 17, that is presenting the new bab with the past tense form, the present tense form, the imperative form, the masdar, the ism fa'il, ism maf'ul, and the ism makan and ism zaman. Yani that same format is going to be used for each bab that we study in the chapters that are ahead of us. So there are two benefits of this review today and last week's review of lessons 16, and that is, number one, to make sure that everybody understood what we covered in those two chapters related to bab fa'ala, and in this chapter related to bab af'ala, to make sure everybody understood it, and also to help any of those who may not have studied level 3 with us, who may not be completely familiar with these abwab, to make sure that they're with us as we go along through the abwab of the fi'l thulathi al-mazid and on to the fi'l al-ruba'i. So we're going to start with the review of the first point from lesson 17, the bab af'ala, and then we're going to complete what remains from this chapter 18. We're going to complete what remains from chapter 18. That includes the exercises from page 159 to the end of the lesson, exercises 4 through 12 of lesson 18. What remains from lesson 18 is exercises 4 through 12 from page 159 to 162. And we're going to also, before we do each exercise, we're going to read, as I suggested for homework, we're going to read the notes from the English key for each exercise. We're going to read the note that corresponds to it, and then we're going to read the Arabic note and the and do the exercises, if there are exercises with that particular point. Okay, so let's start without taking any further time. Let's start with the review of lesson 17.1 on page 69 of the English Key. It says, in this lesson we learn the following. Number one, Bab Af'ala. Bab Af'ala. This is another bab from the Abwab of the Mazid. Meaning, previously we had other babs. We had Bab Fa'ala. And now, in lesson 17, we took Bab Af'ala, another bab from Abwab of Mazid. And in this bab, Bab Af'ala, a hamza is prefixed to the first radical, which loses its vowel. So this bab, its pattern is Af'ala, which means that you're going to put a hamza with fatha before the first radical, before the first root letter, represented by the fa. And then that first root letter loses its vowel, it becomes sakin. So that's how we are composing this bab, Af'ala. Yani number one, we're removing the vowel from the first root letter, the first radical, and then we are prefixing it with hamza, hamzatul qat, with fatha. So for example, from the verb nazala, he came down, we get anzala, he brought down. And he brought someone or something else down. So nazala, in order to change it to the bab afala, we have to remove the vowel from the first radical, the noon, take sukoon, and then we prefix to that noon, hamzatul qat with fatha. So nazala, get rid of the vowel for the noon, add hamzatul qat with fatha, became anzala. Nazala, he came down himself, anzala, he brought something or someone else down. Same thing, kharaja, he went out. On the bab afala, remove the vowel from the kha and prefix it with hamza with fatha. So kharaja became akhraja. Kharaja, he went out. Akhraja, he brought out. And the same thing we could say, for example, for dakhala, he entered. Adkhala, he caused someone else to enter. Jalasa, he sat. Ajlasa, he caused someone else to sit. So that's how the past tense form of the bab afala is formulated. And now we go to the second point of the 8 points that we covered when we reviewed lesson 16 for bab fa'ala. We looked at how do you derive the past tense form, then from it the present tense form, and also from it the fi'l amr, and then the masdar, and then the ism fa'il, ism maf'ul, ism makan, and ism zaman. 8 points. We're going to look at, just like we looked at, those same 8 points for bab fa'ala. And just as we're going to see next week when we do lesson 19 for bab fa'ala, we're going to look at these same 8 points. The madi, the mudari, the amr, the masdar, and the asma, al-fa'il, wal-maf'ul, wal-makan, wal-zaman. Okay, the mudari. The mudari should have been from anzala, yu'anzilu, yani adding the prefix ya with dhamma, because it's a four letter verb. Anzala is four letters, so the prefix letter, the mudara letter, the harf mudara, takes dhamma, and the first original radical takes fatha, and the second radical of the four takes sukoon, and the third radical takes kasra. And the last radical takes whatever is required as the case ending. If it's marfu'un, dhamma, if it's mansub, fatha, if it's majzum, sukun. Okay, so it's going to, the first radical after the prefix letter with dhamma, the first radical takes fatha, second radical takes sukun, third radical takes kasra, and the last radical takes whatever is required as the case ending. So from anzala should have been yu anzilu, just like we had عَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ. أَنزَلَ يُعَنْزِلُ. That's what it should have been. But instead, the hamza, along with its vowel, yani the hamza with fatha after the prefix letter U, that hamza with fatha and its vowel is omitted. So it becomes from يُعَنْزِلُ, it becomes يُنْزِلُ. Just get rid of the hamza and its fatha. يُعَنْزِلُ becomes يُنْزِلُ. أَنزَلَ يُنْزِلُ. The common word from this bab, afala, is aslama yuslimu. Aslama yuslimu. Or amana yu'minu. Alright? So, the mudari, how is it formulated? Yani, it's formulated just like we did the mudari from allama yu'allimu. We add the prefix letter with dhamma. The first radical takes fatah, the second radical takes sukun, the third radical takes kasra, and the last one takes yani whatever is required for the case ending. But it will start with dhamma, okay? So fatah, sukun, kasra, dhamma. Yu anzilu. Get rid of that hamza with fatah and it became yunzilu. That's how we get the mudari form. Then there, if you turn the page, top of page 70 of the English key, it says note. Note that the harf mudara. The harf mudara is the ya or the ta or the hamza or the noon that's added to a madhi verb to make it mudari. Right? That harf al mudara that's prefixed to the beginning of the verb to make it mudari has dhamma. Note that the harf mudara has dhamma because the verb originally had four letters. Yani this verb, yani on the bab of afala from nazala is anzala. So it's hamza, noon, zay, and lam. Four letters. And we said that when the verb has four letters, the prefixed harf mudara takes instead of fatah dhamma. So that's why we had allama yu'allimu. And here we have anzala yunzilu. The harf mudara takes dhamma because the verb originally had four letters, anzala. And then there's another note. Note the difference between this verb form, this mudari form, yanzilu with fatah. Yanzilu. Yanzilu, which is the mudari of nazala. And yunzilu with dhamma on the prefix letter. Yunzilu, which is the mudari of anzala. Note the difference between the mudari from nazala is yanzilu. And the mudari from anzala is yunzilu. Exactly the same, except the prefix letter, the harf mudari. Yani, from nazala has fatah, yanzilu. And from anzala, it has dhamma, yunzilu. So please pay attention to that point. The next, third point is the amr. How do we derive the amr? Note that the amr is formed from the original form of the mudari. It's formed from the original form of the mudari, not from the existent form. The original form of the mudari should have been, we said, anzala yu anzilu. And it's that form that we are not using. It's that form that the fi'l amr is derived from. You tu anzilu. Yani anta tu anzilu. It's from that original form that's no longer being used that the fi'l amr is derived. So how is it derived? After omitting the harf mudara, after getting rid of from tu anzilu, anta tu anzilu, get rid of the tu, and the case ending from the lam, the last letter, make it sak and sukun. Then what's left is the fi'l amr. Okay, so the original form of the mudari should have been anta tu anzilu. Get rid of the tu and get rid of the dhamma on the lam. And it's, what's left is anzil. That's the fi'l amr. Anzil. So the same thing we could say to give more examples. Yani from adkhala, it would have been tu adkhilu. Get rid of the tu, make the lam sukun, and it became adkhil. Cause, yani adkhil means, from adkhala means, yani he caused somebody to enter. Adkhil means cause him to enter. From akhraja, it would have been the mudari, tu akhriju, get rid of the tu, make the jeen sakin, it became akhrij. So this is the fi'l amr, the command form or the imperative form, yani anzil, or adkhil, or akhrij, or aslim, from, yani aslama yuslimu, aslim. Okay, the masdar, the infinitive, yani the noun form that has the meaning of action without yani indicating who's doing the action or the time of the action, that's what the masdar is. It's a noun that has the meaning of action of the verb, but without indicating who's doing the verb or the time of that action. So the masdar of this bab is on the pattern of if'al. It's on the pattern of if'al. Meaning, the first radical represented by fa takes sukun prefixed with hamza, hamzatul qat with kasra. The second radical represented by ayn takes fatah elongated by alif. So the first radical takes sukun, preceded by hamza, with fatha. The second radical takes fatha, elongated by alif. So from anzala, the first radical, which is the noon, takes sukun, preceded by hamza with kasra, became in. The second radical, the zay, takes fatha, elongated by alif, it became in. Zalun, sending down. In anzala means to send something down or to cause something to come down. In zal means the act of sending something down without representing when, time, or who is doing the action. Likewise, from the verb akhraja, you get on the pattern of if'al ikhraj, yani which means bringing something out. From the verb aslama, you get on the pattern of if'al, aslama, you get islam, and he becoming a Muslim. And from amana, you get iman. Alright, so the pattern is if'al. It just means that the fa, representing the first radical, takes sukun, prefixed by hamzatul qat with kasra. The second radical, represented by ayn, takes fatha, alif. In, zal, ikhraj, Islam, and so on, like this. The fifth point is the ism fa'il. As we have seen in bab fa'ala, the harf mudara'a for the ism fa'il, the one who's doing the action, the harf mudara'a is replaced by mu. So from aslama yuslimu, you just replace the ya with dhamma in yuslimu with mu, and it became Muslim. Except instead of the last vowel being a single vowel, it's going to be tanween, because yuslimu is a verb, and Muslim is a noun, takes tanween. So from yuslimu you get muslimun. And likewise, from yumkinu you get mumkinun. And from yani ashraka, yushriku, change the u to mu and you get mushrikun, a mushrik. From amana, yu'minu, change the u to mu and you get mu'minun, a believer, and so on, like this. The ism mafa'ul is just like the ism fa'il. That's what we said in bab fa'ala in lesson 16. And that's the same thing that happens here. The ism mafa'ul, the one or the thing that the action happened to, that the action yani was affected, it is just like the ism fa'il, except that the second radical in the ism mafa'ul, the second radical, takes fatha instead of kasra. For example, yursilu, from yursilu, the ism fa'il is mursilun with kasra, mursilun, the one who sends. The ism maf'ul is mursalun with fatha. Mursilun, ism fa'il, mursalun, ism maf'ul. Mursil is the one who sends, mursal with fatha is the one who has been sent. The other example they gave us is yugliqu. Yani from aghlaqa, yugliqu, to close something. Yugliqu, he closes. The ism fa'il, mughliqun with kasra. Mughliq with kasra. One who closes. Mughlaq with fatha, the thing that was closed. Mughliq, mughlaq. Mursil, mursal. Like this. Okay, so the ism maf'ul is just like the ism fa'il, except that the second radical in the ism fa'il takes kasra and the ism maf'ul takes fatha. The last two points are the noun of place and time, isma al-makan wa zaman, and it is the same as the ism maf'ul. Just like we said in bab fa'ala, the ism makan and zaman are just like the ism maf'ul. Exact same form, voweling, everything. The example they gave us here is athafa yuthifu. That's the past tense and present tense, which means to present someone with a curio, yani to present someone with a relic or an antique, something that is old. Okay, so athafa yuthifu means to give someone an antique or relic. Muthaf, which is the form for the ism maf'ul, and the same form for the ism makan and zaman, here being used as a ism makan, muthaf means the place where antiques or relics are kept, the museum. Alright, so these 8 points are what we're going to see in every bab of mazid that we're going to be studying in the next yani lesson, 7 lessons or so. The same way, the same format that was followed in Bab Fa'ala in lesson 16, same format that we just reviewed here in Bab Afala in lesson 17. And in lesson 19, we'll be taking the next Bab Fa'ala, and we're going to follow the same format of these eight matters. What follows to the end of the English key here are some non-salim verbs transferred to this bab, af'ala. And if you read them, then inshallah, I think it's sufficient. But basically, I wanted to just look at the format that was used here in bab af'ala, just as we looked at the format that was used previously in bab fa'ala. And we're going to see that same format in the next lesson, lesson 19 with bab fa'ala. Okay, now to go back to lesson 18 and to complete what remains from lesson 18, starting with exercise number 4, we're going to read first the note in the English key for that exercise. The note in the English key is on page 77 of the English key. It says point number 4, Iyaka wal kadhiba, means beware of, I don't know why I'm saying kadhiba because that's a hadith, but anyway, Iyaka wal kilaba. Iyaka wal kilaba means beware of dogs. This type of expression is called at-tahdhir. At-tahdhiru, meaning giving a warning against something. Importantly, note that the noun after the waw in this type of expression, iyaka wal kilab, the noun after the waw is mansub. Yani al-kilab is mansub with fatha. So this note that the noun after waw is mansub is not mentioned in the Arabic explanation, brief Arabic explanation with the exercise for this point. So please make a note that the noun after the waw is going to be mansub. The primary sign of a noun when it's mansub is fatha. There are also secondary signs depending on what kind of word it is. Then it just says iyaka is for masculine singular. The kaf here represents anta, corresponds to anta in the personal pronouns. Iyaka means yani masculine singular. For masculine plural it's iyakum, which represents the same second person masculine plural as antum from personal pronouns. For feminine singular is iyaki, corresponding to anti, and for feminine plural is iyakunna, corresponding to antunna. Notice that all of these pronouns, ka, ki, kum, and kunna, are second person pronouns because this, at-tahdhir, this type of expression, is used talking directly to somebody. That means the second person. Could be masculine, feminine, singular, plural, and even can be dual. Here's a hadith. Iyakum, yani antum, a group of males. Iyakum wal hasada. Notice that the noun after the waw is mansub fatha. Iyakum wal hasada, yani beware of jealousy or beware of envy. Fa innal hasada ya'kulu al hasanati kama ta'kulu an naru al hataba. Beware of jealousy or envy, for indeed it eats up good deeds, just as fire eats up the firewood. Okay, from here we're going to go to the exercise on page 159 that deals with this matter. At the top of page 159 it says, Iyaka wadhanna. Again, notice that after the waw, the noun after waw is mansub fatha. Iyaka wadhanna, meaning beware of dhan, suspicion. Beware of unfounded suspicion. Hada, this type of expression is called at-tahdhir. Hada at-tahdhiru. This is the expression for warning somebody. In Arabic, it explains it as meaning what? وَهُوَ تَنْبِيحُ الْمُخَاطَبِ عَلَى أَمْرٍ مَكْرُوحٍ لِيَجْتَنِبَهُ. يعني هو تنبيه, it's calling to somebody's attention. Who? The مخاطب, the person that you are speaking to. Calling to their attention. عَلَى أَمْرٍ مَكْرُوحٍ, some matter that is makruh, that is disliked, that is undesirable, that is yani harmful or dangerous. Calling to the one you are speaking to, calling to the attention, a matter that's dangerous, لِيَجْتَنِبَهُ, so that he may avoid it. So that he may avoid that thing. Or that she may avoid it, or that they may avoid it. Yani depending on yani who you are speaking to. Singular, dual, plural, masculine or feminine. So, إِيَّاكَ وَذَنِ is an expression that's called a tahdhir. And it is calling to the attention of the person that you are addressing a dangerous matter so that they may avoid it. And beware of dogs, for example. They are dangerous. Beware of unbased, yani suspicions. Because in some cases, suspicion is sin, especially if it's baseless. Then it says, "Ha wa ha amthilatan lahu." Here are some, take some examples of this type of expression. Keep it in mind that the noun after waw is going to be mansub. And the reason why it's mansub is not discussed here, and probably we'll study it in detail later on, but the reason why is because it is the object of a verb that is mahdhuf. Yani, ihdhar al-dhan, or ihdhar al-kilab, or ihdhar whatever. Yani, beware of such and such. Yani, it's mansub because of the verb that is mahdhuf, that is omitted, but it's understood. Yani, beware of this thing that is dangerous or evil or whatever. Okay, so they gave us 11 examples here. The first four are singular, masculine, plural masculine, singular feminine, and plural feminine. Iyaka with the same ending, okay? But it's just showing you iyaka, iyakum, iyaki, iyakunna. Iyaka wal kilaba ya bunayya. Beware of dogs, O bunayya, my son, my dear son. Number two, going across. Iyakum wal kilaba ya abana'i. Beware, you all, group of males, beware of dogs, O my sons. Number three, iyaki, feminine singular, wal kilaba, mansub with fatha, ya binti. Beware of dogs, O my daughter. Number four, going across, iyakunna wal kilaba, ya banati. Beware of dogs, O my daughters. Okay, after this, what follows are different examples of the use of at-tahdhir. Some of them are going to be singular, some are going to be plural, masculine and feminine. So you're going to see the pronoun with iya changing. And you're going to also please make note that the noun after the waw is going to be mansub. Okay, number five. Ya Aliyu. You know now you're talking to Ali, that's an individual male. So the pronoun here is going to be second person masculine singular ka. Ya Aliyu, iyaka wa hadha alwalada fa'innahu kathabun. O Ali, beware of this walad, mansub with fatha. فَإِنَّهُ كَذَّابٌ. For indeed he is a big liar. Number six. إِيَّاكِ وَالْكَسَلَ يَا زَيْنَبُ. يَا زَيْنَبُ tells us it's second person feminine singular. So you see the pronoun here is going to be ki. إِيَّاكِ وَالْكَسَلَ يَا زَيْنَبُ. Beware of laziness, O Zainab. Number seven. إِيَّاكُمْ والتدخين فإنه سبب أمراض مهلكة. Beware, you all, a group of males, beware of التدخين, smoking. فإنه سبب, because indeed it is a cause of أمراض, sicknesses, مهلكة, that are destructive, yani deadly sicknesses like cancer and so on. Number eight, إياكن, feminine plural. وَهَذِهِ الْمَجَلَّاتِ يَا أَخَوَاتِ. Beware of these magazines. Beware of these immoral, filthy magazines. يَا أَخَوَاتِ. O my sisters. Number 9 and 10, 11 are hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدَ. Beware of envy or jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Because indeed, Al-Hasad eats up good deeds, destroys your good deeds. كما تأكل النار الحطب. Just as fire eats up or destroys the firewood. Number 10. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he, may the salat and salam be upon him, our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إياكم والجلوس بالطرقات. O you all, group of males, beware of al-julusa, sitting bit-turuqati, in the roadways. And by the way, turuqat is the plural of turuq, which is the plural of tariq. So this is jam al-jam that we're going to come to at the end of this lesson. Number 11. وَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ ومحدثات الأمور فإنها ضلالة. Oh, you all, group, second person, masculine, plural, أنتم, إياك وإياكم, excuse me, ومحدثات الأمور فإنها ضلالة, and beware of محدثات, يعني newly invented matters that have no basis in the Sunnah. Beware of محدثات الأمور, يعني affairs that have been newly invented. فإنها ضلالة, for indeed these newly invented matters are all misguidance. Here I just want to make one note, and that is the word after waw is muhtathati, and we said the word after the waw has to be mansub. So this word is mansub, but instead of fatha we see kasra, because muhtathat is a feminine sound, feminine plural, and sound feminine plurals, when they are mansub, they take kasra instead of fatha. And that is the same thing that we saw with number 8, إِيَّاكُنَّ وَهَذِهِ الْمَجَلَّاتِ. Yani, the word after waw is هَذِهِ, it's a ism ishara, it's مَبْنِيٌ, but it's in the place. Yani, فِي مَحَلِّ نَصْبٍ, and الْمَجَلَّاتِ is its بَدَل, and the بَدَل has to be the same as the مُبْدَل مِنْهُ, so it also has to be mansub. But the sign of it being mansub here is كَسْر instead of فَتَّ, because it's a جَمْ المُؤَنَّث السَّالَم, the sound feminine plural. Okay, the next exercise that follows immediately on page 159, bottom half, is related to the same point of التحذير, warning. It says, كون أمثلة للتحذير مستعملا الكلمات الآتية. يعني, I'm sorry, just give me one second. Little distraction here. Okay. Alright, okay, the instruction says what? Compose amthila, examples, للتحذير, for warning, using الكلمات, the words, الآتية, that follow. Okay, so they give us words and we have to make a تحذير, yani construction. So the first one, number one, they are 1 through 7, الصفور. الصفور, by the way, literally means unveiling of the woman's face. Yani, removing the veil from the woman's face. So the first sentence should be إِيَّاكَ وَالصُّفُورَ يَا أَخَوَاتِ, or إِيَّاكُنَّ, because it's feminine plural, right? إِيَّاكُنَّ وَالصُّفُورَ with فَتَّة يَا أَخَوَاتِ. Beware of unveiling the woman's face, O sisters. Number two, يَا Uthman, we are addressing an individual male, so it's going to be second person masculine, singular, ka, iyaka walkadhiba, with fatha, ya Uthmanu, beware of lying, O Uthman. The third one is ya Azza, ya Azzatu, female name, so it's going to be, yani, second person feminine singular, ki, iyaki walhasada, ya Azzatu, beware of envy or jealousy, O Azza. Number four, ya أخوية, يا أخوية, يعني أخوية is the plural of, يعني أخ, أخوان, أخوية, يعني means my two brothers. إياكما dual, والنميمة, يا أخوية, oh my two brothers, beware of النميمة, يعني tail carrying, oh my two brothers. Number five, يا أطفال, يعني it's going to be masculine plural, second person masculine plural. إياكم والنزول من الحافلة وهي تسير. Beware, يا أطفال, beware of descending and نزول from the bus, وهي تسير, while it is moving. يعني this is واو الحال, while it is moving. يا أطفال, O children. Number six, التبرج. التبرج means, yani, that a woman displays her charms, that she adorns herself to be seen by people that shouldn't be seeing her, to make herself pretty. Yani, tabarruj. Number six, iyak. Yani, it looks like in my book it has ya bintayya. If there's no voweling, it could be ya binti. Yani, so it could be iyaki, but in my book it's vowel. It says ya bintayya, so it's going to be second person dual. do iyyakuma, iyyakuma wattabarruja. Ya bintayya, beware of a tabarruj, O my two daughters. And the last one, ya ayyuhal muslimun, is addressed to group of males, so it's going to be iyyakum, plural, iyyakum wal bid'ata, ayyuhal muslimun. Beware of innovation, O Muslims. Okay, now we go to the next point on page 160. Innama yakdhibu. Let's read the note that is in the English key related to this. Note number 5 on the bottom of page 77 of the English key before we do this exercise. It says, yani in the English key, page 77, note number 5, it says, innama ana mudarrisun. Innama ana mudarrisun means I am only a teacher. That is, I am a teacher and nothing else. So, this is affirming that the person is a teacher and negating that they are anything other than a teacher. Yani they're not a doctor, they're not an engineer. I am only a teacher. Innama ana mudarrisun. Innama is composed of inna plus ma. And this ma is called ma al-kafatu. Ma al-kafatu, with shadda on the fa. That is the preventive ma, because it prevents inna from rendering the following noun mansub. Remember we said that inna wa akhawatuha, inna is used with a jumla fi'liya, a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. And when inna is introduced to the sentence, the mubtada becomes ism inna and mansub. But when ma is attached to inna, it prevents it from making its ism mansub. It prevents that from happening. That's why it's called the preventive ma, or ma al-kafatu. We say, for example, innama al-amalu bin-niyat. Actions are judged only by intentions. So this is affirming that actions are judged by intentions and not by anything else. Yani intentions is the key here. Here, al-amal is marfoon and not mansub. If not for ma, we would have said, inna al-a'mala, ism inna mansub. But because of ma, it is the ma al-kafa, prevents inna from rendering the following noun mansub. So, innama al-a'malu, marfoon with dhamma bin-niyat. Actions are judged only by intentions. Here, al-a'malu is marfoon and not mansub. Unlike inna, and its akhwat, the word innama is used in a verbal sentence as well. I'm reading now to the top of page 78. Innama is used with a verbal sentence as well. Inna is only used with the jumla ismiya, but innama can be used with the jumla ismiya as well as a jumla fi'liya, a nominal sentence as well as a verbal sentence. For example, innama yakdhibu. He is only telling a lie. Yani, there's no truth to it. It is merely a lie. In the Quran we have, in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 18th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بعد أعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ. يَعْمُرُ is, this is the beginning of a verbal sentence, and إِنَّمَا can be used with a verbal sentence as well as a nominal sentence. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Only those tend or take care of the masjids of Allah who believe in Allah in the last day. Yani only the people who believe in Allah in the last day should be responsible for taking care of the houses of Allah, the masajid of Allah. Okay, that's the note for this particular point. Now we're going to go to the exercise on the top of page 160 in the Arabic section of the book. It gives us a different example. Innama yakdhibu. Yani meaning he is only lying. Innama asluhu, its origin, is from inna ittasalat biha ma'a za'ida. And there has been connected to it ma'a za'ida. Wa tusamma hadhihi ma'a al-kafa. This ma'a za'ida, this extra ma'a, is known as what we mentioned previously from the English key, ma'a al-kafata. Ma'a al-kafa. It's an extra ma'a that's added, and its function is to prevent inna from causing the noun following it to become mansub. And it also enables, yani when ma is attached to inna, it enables it to be used with a verbal sentence as well as a nominal sentence. So, تسمى هذه ماء الكافة لأنها تكف إن عن العمل because it prevents إن from its work of making its اسم منسوب. وتدخل إنما على الجملتين. إنما is used with both sentences, الاسمية والفعلية, the nominal sentence and the verbal sentence. For example, from the Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 60th Ayat, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ. Indeed, الصَّدَقَات is only for the poor. Yani this is affirming that الصَّدَقَات is for the poor. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ. Notice that the noun after إِنَّمَا is not mansub, because ما, يعني ما الكافة prevents إن from causing the noun following to be mansub. إنما الصدقات للفقراء. Another example is from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. And we already saw that particular example from the English key. يعني actions are judged by intentions. The next example they gave us is from the Quran, Surah At-Tawbah, and we saw it already in the English key, 9th Surah, 18th Ayat, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ. That indeed, only those who believe in Allah on the last day are responsible for taking care of or tending to the masajid of Allah, the houses of Allah. Note here in Arabic, very, very important explanation of إِنَّمَا تُفِيدُ. What is the benefit that we get from إنما؟ What does it actually do? تفيد إنما التعيين. التعيين, specification. ويوجب إثبات الحكم المذكور. And it also necessitates the affirmation. إثبات الحكم المذكور. Whatever ruling is mentioned in that statement, it necessitates that we affirm that. يعني إنما يأمر المساجد الله. إنما يأمر مساجد الله. And we affirm that those who take care of the masajid of Allah, those who believe in Allah on the last day. So it necessitates affirming the ruling that's mentioned in that statement. ونفي غير هذا الحكم عنه. And the negation of anything other than what's stated here is negated. يعني any نفي غير هذا الحكم. Other than the حكم that's affirmed, it negates everything else from يعني whoever is being spoken about in that sentence, or whatever is being spoken about in that sentence. فقولنا. So therefore, based on this, we say our statement إنما هو مهندس. يعني there's what? First, يعني إنما تفيد تعيين. تعيين means specification. It also is explained sometimes as يعني meaning الحصر. يعني limitation. It limits that ruling, whatever is mentioned in that statement, limits it to the one that's being mentioned here. As well as it, yani specification means it specifies something about the one mentioned here. So the statement, إِنَّمَا هُوَ مُهَنْدِسٌ, it is limiting him to be a muhandis and only a muhandis, and it is also specifying what he is, that he is a muhandis and that he's only a muhandis. That's تعيين and حصر, specification and limitation. قولنا إنما هو مهندس يفيد أنه مهندس فقط. It affirms that he's a مهندس and it limits him to being a مهندس only. وليس فيه صفة أخرى. And that he doesn't have any other characteristic. Meaning he's a مهندس and he's not a مدرس and he's not an إمام and he's not a طالب, but rather he is only a مهندس and only a مهندس. Okay, this is يعني the meaning of إنما. And yani, if you put together yani what is mentioned in the English key with what is mentioned here, inshallah, hopefully it becomes clear yani the how this particular expression is used. They gave us some examples here. They didn't give us any exercise, any work to do here. It was just a reading exercise and an explanation to make sure we understand how to use innama. Innama. Okay, the two things that we need to note about that's very important is that it prevents inna from making the noun following it mansub, and it allows it now to be used with a jumla fi'liya as well as the jumla ismiya. Okay, the next point, the next exercise, we're going to look at the explanation of it in the English key first. So we go to the English key, page 78. which is marked in the English key as number 6, near the top of page 78, point number 6, it says, Wallahi. Explanation? It means by Allah. This is an oath. Wallahi. By Allah is an oath. And it is a footnote here. It says the wow in Wallahi is used for an oath. This wow is a preposition. That is why the noun following it, Wallahi, that's why the noun following it is majroor. It should not be confused with wow al-atf, the wow that is a conjunction, which means A-N-D, end. So there are different types of wow al-atf, which means this and that, yani al-kitab wal-qalam. And then there's wow al-qasam, yani the one that we're talking about here, the wow of making an oath, swearing. And there's also wow al-hal, yani the wow that indicates the condition, yani of the person at the time when whatever happened, happened. So here we're talking about wow al-qasam, by Allah. This is an oath. In Arabic it is called al-qasamu, wow al-qasam. And the statement that follows the qasam is called jawab al-qasam. Jawabu al-qasami. If the jawab al-qasam, after the oath that you're swearing, wallahi, wal-ka'ba, whatever it is, and after that, what comes after that is called the jawab al-qasam. He says, if the jawab al-qasam commences with a madi verb and is affirmative, yani it's making an affirmative statement, not a negation, then it should take the emphatic particle laqad. Yani if the jawab al-qasam, what follows the oath, if it is a sentence that has yani a jumla fi'liya with a past tense verb that's not negated, it's affirmed, then it should take the emphatic particle laqad, which means definitely, certainly, surely. For example, wallahi, that's an oath. The jawab al-qasam is farihtu kathiran. It's a jumla fi'liya, it's a past tense verb, and it's affirmative. So it should be preceded by laqad. Wallahi, laqad farihtu kathiran. Meaning, by Allah, I was definitely, certainly, yani, greatly delighted. Yani, farihtu kathiran. Pleased a lot. If, however, the verb is madi but negative, not affirmative, it does not take the emphatic particle. For example, wallahi, that's the qasam. Ra'aytuhu is the jawab al-qasam. It is a past tense verb, but it's not affirmative. It's negative because it has ma and nafiyah. Wallahi, ma ra'aytuhu. In this case, the yani emphatic laqad is not used. Wallahi, I did not see him. Wallahi, ma ra'aytu. There's no laqad to be used here. Okay, after this, let's go to the Arabic text and look at Arabic explanation examples that are given here on page 160, bottom half of the page. Wallahi, laqad farihtu kathiran. This is the example we just read. By Allah, I swear by Allah that indeed I was yani very, very happy, greatly delighted. Wallahi laqad farihtu kathiran. Huna farihtu kathiran is jawab al-qasam. Yani wallahi is the qasam and the jawab al-qasam is farihtu kathiran. Idha kana jawab al-qasam jumlatan fi'liyatan muthbatatan musaddaratan bi fi'lin madin ukida bi al-lami wal وقد. So إذا كان جواب القسم جملة فعلية. If the جواب القسم is a يعني verbal sentence, مثبتن يعني affirmative verb, مصدرتن بفعل ماضي يعني beginning with a past tense verb that is affirmative. If the جواب القسم يعني begins with a past tense verb that is مثبتة, affirmative, not negative, أكدة, then it is emphasized. Bi al-lam wa qad, with lam and qad, laqad. It should be emphasized with laqad. Kama fi qawlihi ta'ala, just as it is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, At-Tin, 95th Surah, first 4 ayats. Ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan wa'ajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa-t-tini wa-z-zaytun, wa-turi sinin, wa-hada al-baladil amin. Laqad khalaqana al-insana fi ahsani تقويم. يعني والتين والزيتون وطور سينين. These are oaths, swearing. Wa, this wow is wow al-qasam. والتين, I swear by I swear by Atin, the fig, Wazaytun, the olive, Waturi Sinin, Mount Sinai, Wahada al-Balad al-Amin, and this secure city. All of these are oaths, Qasam. The Jawab al-Qasam is خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Because it is a jumla fi'liya, muthbata, affirmed, beginning with a past tense verb, then it has to be preceded, yani, with the emphatic لَقَد. Indeed, certainly, definitely, Allah is swearing by the fig and the olive and Mount Sinai and this secure city. He said, indeed, we have created the human being in the best form, in the best shape, in the best mold. Okay, so this is the Arabic explanation of the Qasam, Waw al-Qasam and Jawab al-Qasam, and that the Jawab al-Qasam, if it is beginning with a past tense verb that is affirmative, it should be preceded by the emphatic laqad, which means to emphasize the meaning, the certainty, the definiteness of what is being sworn upon here. Okay, after this it says, اجعل كل جملة مما يأتي جوابا للقسم. So this is an exercise actually that we have to do. It says, make every sentence from what follows a جواب القسم. So they give us three sentences here. We have to make that the جواب القسم, which means we have to begin with a قسم. And if the جواب القسم begins with an affirmative past tense verb, then we have to add لقد before it, after the قسم, right? So the first sentence they gave us is فرحت بزيادتك, يعني I'm extremely happy with your visit, you visiting me. So now we make it this فرحت جواب القسم. We say والله لقد فرحت بزيادتك. Indeed, by Allah, يعني I'm pleased, very happy with your visit. The second one, قلت لي هكذا. You did say like this. You said something like this to me. So now we want to make it جواب القسم, and we want to make it the جواب القسم. قلت قلت لي هكذا. والله لقد قلت لي هكذا. By Allah, indeed, you did say to me the like of this. The third one, رأيته في السوق. I saw him in the marketplace. You want to make it جواب القسم. Since it is a past tense verb in the affirmative, it's not negated, then we have to use لقد. We say والله لقد رأيته في السوق. Indeed, definitely, by Allah, I did see him in the marketplace. Okay, before we go to the next explanation, Arabic explanation on page 161, let's look at the English explanation of that point, which is relatively brief. Page 78 of the English key, point number 7. The verb amsa is a sister of kana. Yani kana wa akhawatuha. Just like we had inna wa akhawatuha, we had kana wa akhawatuha. We had kana, detailed explanation of it, in I think lesson 25 of book 2. Lesson 25 in the English key, point 1. Page 80. If anybody needs to go back to read about kana and its details, please go back to book 2, lesson 25, the English key, point number 1 on page 80. Okay, so in any case, the verb amsa is a sister of kana. So it works like kana, meaning it's used with a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. And the jumla ismiya, the mubtada becomes ismu kana, marfu'un, and the khabar becomes khabaru kana, mansubun. That's the rules for kana wa akhawatuha, right? So amsa, being from the akhawatu kana, it works the same way with the jumla ismiya. Yani we change the name of mubtada and khabar to ismu amsa, and it's going to be marfu'un, and khabaru amsa, which is going to be mansub. Alright, so the English explanation just merely says that verb amsa is a sister of kana. It means he became in the evening, in the masa. He became, and his condition changed to whatever. Or it became, and his condition changed to whatever. For example, amsa al-jawu latifan. The weather became latif, became fine in the evening. Here, al-jawu is its ism, the ism amsa. And ism amsa is marfu'un, so we see it's marfu'un with dhamma. And latifan is its khabar. And we said khabar, the khabar of amsa, like the khabar of kana, is going to be mansubun. So we see latifan being mansub with fatha. That's the explanation. It just says, fi, si asbaha in lesson 17. Yani, because asbaha, we said in lesson 17, is from akhwatu kana as well. So there's some explanation there in lesson 17. If you go back to lesson 17 to see asbaha, asbaha means became in the morning. Whereas Amsa here means he became in the evening. Alright? Asbaha is in lesson 17, page 72, English, key point 5. Okay, let's go to the Arabic for this matter of the verb Amsa on the top of page 161. Top of page 161. It says, Amsa min akhawat kana. Amsa is from the sisters of Kana. Taqulu amsaytu maridan. Yani, I became maridan, sick in the evening. A, adrakani al-masa'u. Yani, amsa adrakani al-masa'u. وَأَنَا مَرِيضٌ يعني the night came upon me while I was sick. يعني I became sick in the evening. Here, just note that أَمْسَيْتُ مَرِيضًا يعني the ism of أَمْسَى here is the pronoun to, corresponding to أَنَا. أَمْسَيْتُ. That's the ism of أَمْسَى and مَرِيضًا is the خَبَر of أَمْسَى and the خَبَر of أَمْسَى is going to be منصوب as we see it here. Okay, then they gave us three sentences. It says, أدخل أمسى, utilize or introduce أمسى على الجمل الآتية on the following sentences. So we're going to have to change the sentence. When we use أمسى, the جملة اسمية مبتدأ and خبر now become اسم أمسى مرفوع with ضمة and خبر أمسى منصوب with فتحة. Okay, so the sentence is going to change from number one, Al-Jawu Mu'atadilun, the weather is mild or moderate. Two, Amsa Al-Jawu Mu'atadilan. Yani, the weather became mild in the evening. Number two, Nahnu Mut'abun. We are all tired. Mut'ab, Mut'abun. Now we introduce Amsa. Yani, instead of nahnu, the pronoun is going to be, yani, the attached pronoun. Amsayna. We reached the evening, or the evening reached us, muta'abina, while we were tired. And notice that muta'abuna is changed to becoming mansub, as a sound masculine plural. The sign of it being mansub is ya, whereas originally it had waw because it was marfu, and now it became yani mansub, and the sign of the sound masculine plural when it's mansub is ya. So amsayna muta'abina. We became tired in the evening. The third one is al-maridatu dha'ifatun. The sick female patient is weak. And now we want to change it to the female patient became weak in the evening. Yani amsat al-maridatu dha'ifatan. Yani, al-maridatu, the sick female patient, reached the or the evening reached them, or they, yani, became, in the evening, they became va'ifatan, yani, weak. Okay, the next point is, we're going to go back to the English key again to read briefly. It's not much said there, but on page 78 of the English key, point number 8, second, bottom half of the page, it says point number 8, Inna bi suda'an shadidan. I'm suffering from a severe headache. Suda'an is headache, shadidan, severe headache. Then it says, Mada biki ya Zainabu, what are you suffering from, O Zainab? It says, note that many words denoting disease or sickness are in the pattern of fu'alun. And that's what we want to note here, the pattern of fu'alun. For example, suda'un means headache. Zukamun means to have a cold. Duwarun means vertigo, or any vertigo means dizziness. And su'alun with ayn means to have a cough. So we see that each of these words denoting this types of sicknesses are on the pattern of fu'al. Su, da, zu, kam, du, war, and su'al. And that's all it says in the English key. As far as in the Arabic, on page 161, we go back to page 161, yani closer to the halfway mark of the page, it says, A'rib, this is a, yani, this is a, an exercise. A'rib al-jumlata, and it doesn't give us any explanation. But the explanation here is in the English key that it's talking about what? It's talking about words that are on the pattern of fu'al that represent diseases or sicknesses. But here, the sentence that they gave us as an example, إِنَّ بِي سُدَاعًا شَدِيدًا, they want us to give the إعراب of it, to explain it. Because this is, يعني, it's a jumla ismiya, but the مبتدا and خبر are in reversed order. And they want us to explain that. أعرب الجملة إِنَّ بِي سُدَاعًا شَدِيدًا. يعني, explain the إعراب, the grammatical analysis of the sentence. Indeed, I am experiencing or suffering from a severe headache. ثُمَّ أَجِبْ عَنَ الْأَسِئِلَةِ الْآتِيَةِ عَلَى غِرَارِهَا. And then answer the following questions, 1 through 7, with the same pattern as is used in this statement, إِنَّ بِي سُدَاعًا شَدِيدًا. Okay, as far as the إعراب, إِنَّ is حَرْف توكيد, and it's a particle that is for emphasis, مَبْنِيٌ عَلَى فَتْ, and it's fixed upon the, يعني the ending with فَتْهَ. B is the khabar muqaddam, khabar of inna fi mahalli raf. Yani, it's the khabar of inna, even though it's coming first, but it's khabar muqaddam. So it's the khabar of inna, it's in the place where it should be marfu'un as the khabar of inna. Suda'an is the mubtad, is the ism inna. And ism inna is going to be mansub, but it's ism inna mu'akhar, it's delayed from its place. Alright? But it's nonetheless, even though it's delayed, it's the ism inna, and ism inna is mansub, and that's why we see suda'an with fatta. Shadidun is a nat or a sifa for suda'an, and therefore it is also mansub with fatta. So that's the i'rab of inna bi suda'an shadidan. Yani, b is the khabar muqaddam, suda'an is the mubtada mu'akhar. And the ism inna is always going to be mansub, even though it's mu'akhar, and the khabar of inna, because it's a yani prepositional phrase b, so we don't say that it is marfu'un, but we say it's fi mahalli raf, fi mahalli raf, yani in the place where it should be marfu'un. Okay, as for the questions that we have to answer on the same pattern as inna bi suda'an shadidan, the first question is the one they've given us the answer, ماذا بِكَ يَا عَلِيُّ. What is wrong with you, O Ali? إِنَّ بِي سُدَاعًا شَدِيدًا. I'm suffering from a severe headache. The second one, أَخُوكَ مَاذَا بِهِ. Your brother, what is wrong with him? What's happening with him? إِنَّ بِهِ زُكَامًا شَدِيدًا. They gave us the word زُكَام at the end of the line, so we have to use that word that they gave us in each one. إِنَّ بِهِ زُكَامًا شَدِيدًا. يعني he is suffering from a severe cold. Number three, ماذا بكم, what is with you all? And the word they gave us is مغصن, which means colic or gripes. ماذا بكم, إن بنا مغصن منصوب شديدا. يعني we are suffering from a severe case of colic. Number four, أختك ماذا بها, what about your sister? What's wrong with her? إِنَّ بِهَا أُخْت, right? إِنَّ بِهَا سُعَالًا شَدِيدًا. يعني she is suffering from a severe cough. Number five, هَؤُلَاءِ الطُّلَّابُ مَاذَا بِهِمْ. These students, these male students, مَاذَا بِهِمْ, what is with them? إِنَّ بِهِمْ إِسْحَالًا شَدِيدًا. They are suffering from severe diarrhea. And number six, هَؤُلَاءِ الطَّالِبَاتُ مَاذَا بِهِنَّ. These female students, what is wrong with them? إِنَّ بِهِنَّ صُدَاعًا شَدِيدًا. They are suffering from a severe headache. And number seven, مَاذَا بِكِ يَا سُعَادُ. What is wrong with you, O Su'ad? إِنَّ بِي دُوَارًا شَدِيدًا. I am suffering from severe dizziness. So basically here, they're just requiring us to use these different types of sicknesses in a sentence, but in the same format that was used in the sentence that came in the example they gave us in the beginning, with the mubtada and the khabar having their reversed order. Reversed order for mubtada and khabar of inna. Keeping in mind that the ism inna is mansub even if it's delayed, and the khabar of inna is marfoon even if it is advanced. Okay, the next point is the masdar, the hab. And basically, in the English key, it doesn't say much. It's on the bottom of page 78, the last thing, point number 9, says one of the patterns or wezens, one of the awzan of the masdar is fa'al. Yani the first radical fa takes fatha, the second radical ayn takes fatha alif. Fa'al. For example, dhahabun, going. That's the masdar, dhahab. The masdar from dhahaba, yadhhabu. Likewise, on this pattern, a masdar on this pattern is najahun, success. Success, or like to pass an exam. Najahun from the verb najaha, najaha, to be successful or to pass the exam. That's all they said about this here. So we go to the Arabic, which is also very, very brief. On the bottom of page 161, all it says is that dhahabun is a masdar from the verb dhahaba. وَهُوَ عَلَى وَزْنِ فَعَالٍ. And it is on the pattern. It is following the pattern of fa'al, meaning the fa, the first radical, takes fatha. The ayn, the second radical, the second root letter, takes fatha, elongated by alif. And that's the pattern. The first radical, represented by fa, takes fatha. The second radical, represented by ayn, takes fatha alif. And then it says, هَاتِ الْمَصْدَرْ. Give us the masdar. So that's, this is an exercise you should have done. Give us the masdar from the following. من الأفعال الآتية على وزن فعال. Give us the masdar, the infinitive form, from the following verbs on the pattern, the wazn of fa'al. So the masdar from najaha, to succeed or to pass the exam, is najah. And the masdar from fasada, to corrupt something, is fasad. And the masdar from nafida, to be depleted or to be used up or to run out of something, the masdar from nafida is nafad. And the masdar from dhalla, to go astray or to be astray, is dhalal. Okay, then we go to the next point, which is the jam or jam. We're going to look at the English just quickly. It's not much written there, but it does give us a little bit in the English key for this particular point. And it says, in the English key on the top of page 79, number 10, point number 10 of the English key, it says, the plural of tariqun, a road, is turuqun, roads. And the plural of turuqun is turuqatun. This is called jam'u al-jam'i, plural of plural. Some nouns have jam'u al-jam'i. Some nouns have jam'u al-jam'i. Yani some nouns just have singular and plural. And some have singular plural and a plural of the plural. Yani road is one road, turuq is roads. So if there are innumerable roads, then you can say turuqat. Yani the plural of the plural. Yani roads being pluralized. I don't think we have anything like that in English. Allahu a'lam. At least I'm not aware of it. Yani, this is called jam'u al-jam'i. Yani, the plural of the plural. Some nouns have jam'u jam'i. For example, makanun means a place. Its plural is amkinatun. Places. And this amkinatun, plural places, also has a plural, amakinu, which is on the pattern of, yani, a broken plural pattern, that, and therefore it is taking what? Taking a single vowel, dhamma. Another example is siwarun, a bracelet, and its plural is aswiratun. Aswiratun. And this aswiratun also has a plural, asawiru. Likewise, the word yedun means a hand, and aidin means hands, and the plural of aidin is ayadin. Note. It doesn't say note, but I'm saying note. This is a very important note. And this note is not mentioned in the Arabic discussion concerning this, which is, yani, not much at all. But in any case, in the Arabic portion concerning this matter, this note is not mentioned. So please, yani, this is very important. The jam'u jam mostly, not all the time, but mostly has the meaning of the plural. Like tariq means a road, and turuq means roads, and turuqat also means many roads. It has the same meaning. Mostly has the same meaning of the plural. But in some cases, it has a different meaning. Yani sometimes the jam'u jam, the plural, has actually a different meaning. For example, Aiden means hands. Yani yed means hand. Aiden means hands. But the plural of Aiden, Ayadin, doesn't mean hands, many hands. It means favors. Favors. And the same thing with Beit, which means house, and Buyut means houses, houses. But the plural of Buyut, Buyutat, doesn't mean many, many houses. It means respectable families. So in some cases, the plural of the plural actually has a different meaning. Even though it may have some kind of relationship, but it may have a different meaning. Okay, so that's very important. Now let's look, just look at the Arabic. On the bottom of page 161, the last thing that's mentioned on the bottom of the page is tariqun, means a road. Jam'uhu, its plural is turuq, roads. Wa jam'u turuq, and the plural of turuq is turuqat. Wa yusamma hadha jam'a al-jam'i, and this, the plural of a plural, is called jam' al-jam'i. Ilayka amthilatan ukhra. So here are some more examples on the top of page 162. Makanin, its plural is amkinatun, and its plural is amakinu, with a single dhamma. Siwarun, yani bracelet, its plural is aswiratun, and the plural of its plural is asawiru. And then we have ina'un, which is a container or a vessel, and its plural is aniyatun, and the plural of the plural is awanin, yani with kasratain, because it is ism manqus. The last one is yadun, and its plural is aidin, also ism manqus, and its plural is ayadin, meaning favors. Yani yad means hand, aidin means hands, its plural ayadin means favors. Yani favors are at the hand of someone, right? Okay, the one thing I want to note here is that there's some correspondence in the pattern of some of these plural plurals. Like, for example, makan, its plural is amkina. And siwar, its plural is aswira. And ina, its plural is aniya. All of them, their plurals are on the same pattern. And likewise, if we look at the plural of the plural, the plural of amkina is amakinu. And the plural of aswira is asawiru. And the plural of aniya is awanin, but originally it would have been awaniyu, but it's a ism manqus, and the ya is deleted from it, but it has the same pattern. Okay, so that's just something of note, that sometimes the plural and the plural of the plural has a similar pattern to other plurals. After this, there's an exercise. It's not related to anything in the English key, but there's an exercise. We'll just do this exercise. It says, أدخل كل كلمة مما يأتي في جملة مفيدة. Use every word from what follows in a beneficial sentence. جملة مفيدة means a complete sentence. That makes sense. Okay, so they gave us six words here, and we're just going to make a sentence which each of them. How this relates to the lesson is that these are words from the lesson. Like nadhafa is from bab fa'ala, and ahdara is from bab af'ala, and jawwala is from bab fa'ala, and amsa is from bab yani af'ala, and we had it amsa as one of the sisters of Kana, and innama was yani one of the things that we studied in this lesson, and ari yani is from ara, yani from bab af'ala as well. Yani the thulathi mujarrad is ra'a, and the yani bab af'ala is ara. It should have been ara'a, we said previously, but it is ara. And the fi'l amr from it is ari, yani show me, yani cause me to see, or cause him to see. So these are words that came from the lesson, either from this lesson or one of the recent lessons, and they just want us to make sentences. And making sentences is very important. It's a good exercise to help you to practice the use of the language. So the first word, nadhafa, means to clean something. So the sentence I wrote is, nadhafa al-waladu ghurfatahu. The boy cleaned his room. The second word, ahdara. to bring something or to cause someone to be present. أحضر الطالب كتابه. The student brought his book. The third word, جوّل, يعني to go about in the lands. جوّل العالم في بلاد كثيرة. The scholar, يعني went about in many lands. يعني traveled from country to country. The next word, أمسى, يعني to become something in the evening. أمسى الرجل فقيرا. The man became poor in the evening. He lost all of his money. The next word, إنما, يعني it is this and only this. The hadith that they gave us, very important hadith, إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Another hadith that is equally important, a little bit more detailed, إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به. Please learn this hadith. إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به. Indeed, the Imam has been made. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ. He has been placed, or he has been put in this position as the Imam. لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. So that the people will follow him. He has been made, placed as the Imam to be followed. لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. That he be followed. And people, when we pray in Jama'ah, make sure we follow the Imam and not go ahead of him or do anything in contradiction to what he's doing. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ. The Imam has been placed there as the Imam. لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. That he be followed. That the people follow him. Okay, the last word they gave us is أري. Show. أَرِنَا سَاعَتَكَ. يَا مَحْمُودُ. Show us your watch, O Mahmood. Okay, so after this, after these sentences, the last thing that's mentioned here is an oral exercise on page 162. It's related to the word adra. And so we're going to go back to the English key just quickly, the point number 11 of the English key, on page 79 of the English key. It says, point number 11, dara means he knew, and adra from bab afala, adra means he made him to know. He caused somebody else to know. Dara, he knew. Adara, he caused somebody else to know. That is, he informed him. And how did he make him know? He told him about something. Okay, so they said here, and as an example, and there's no Arabic explanation for this particular point, but there is an oral exercise with it. Okay, we're going to go to the oral exercise after we read this English explanation. It says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهُ يَكْذِبُ. That came in the lesson, one of the lessons. It says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ أَنَّهُ يَكْذِبُ. And what informed you, yani what made you know that he is telling a lie? Meaning, how did you come to know that he is telling a lie? An example from the Quran, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ, yani what caused you to know, what made you to know, what informed you, how did you come to know that he is lying? In the Quran, they gave us the example from 97th surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Qadr, the first three ayats. Bada a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Wa ma adraka, and this is the shahid here, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. Laylatul qadri khayrun min alf shahr, to the end of the surah, yani the meaning, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, indeed we have revealed it in the night of decree. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَضَى. And what will inform you what the night of Qadr is? Yani, the first ma is what. مَا أَدْرَاكَ. What caused you to know? What made you? How did you become informed of مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَضَى? What is لَيْلَةُ الْقَضَى? لَيْلَةُ الْقَضَى خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of Qadr is better than 1,000 months, yani that does not include Laylatul Qadr, 1,000 months other than the month that includes Laylatul Qadr, to the end of the surah. It says this expression has been used in the Quran about 13 times. Yani the expression, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. What made you know? What caused you to know? In the Arabic text, there's an oral exercise. It says on the last page of this lesson, page 162, halfway down the page, it says, and this is the last point of this lesson, and in the Arabic section it says tamrinun shafawiyun, an oral exercise in which yaqulu at-talibu, the student, this is what is supposed to happen in this oral exercise, yaqulu talibun, a student says sayarji'u al-mudiru ghadan insha'Allah. Yani sayarji'u al-mudiru, the principal will return tomorrow insha'Allah, or something like this. يعني سيرجع المدير غدا or سيرجع الإمام بعد قليل or anything like this, kind of a statement of something that's going to happen tomorrow. يقول له زميله, and his classmate will say to him, وما أدراك أنه يرجع غدا, or in reference to the Imam returning after a little, وما أدراك أنه يعود بعد قليل. And what caused you to know, what made you to know that he's going to return tomorrow after a little while? فَيَقُولُ, and then the first student who said, who made the statement, he responds to the one who questioned him, and what made you to know this? He will say, سَمِعْتُ الْمُرَاقِبُ يَقُولُ ذَلِكَ, I heard the muraqib, the monitor, saying that he's going to return tomorrow, or يعني, if it was the imam, a person might say, I heard the imam saying it, or I heard one of the people in the masjid saying it, or whatever. Okay, so this is an oral exercise. One person says, something is going to happen tomorrow, or later, or whenever. Another person says, and what made you to know that this is going to happen? And he says, yani, I came to know because I heard this, or I heard that, or whatever. Okay, so this is an oral exercise that has to take place in the classroom, or, and if you have study partners, then you do it amongst yourselves. And if you do it a few times with different, yani, examples, that would be excellent. That's the end of the Arabic. In the English key, there's one more point that we're going to close with, and that is on the last half of page 79 of the English key, it says point number 12. And there's no Arabic explanation for this. It's just a line that came in the lesson, and it's explained here. The meaning of the poetic line, وَلَمْ أَرَى, and here أَرَى is يعني from رَأَى, يَرَى أَنَا أَرَى. وَلَمْ أَرَى كَالْمَعْرُوفِ أَمَّا مَذَاقُهُ فَحُلْوٌ وَأَمَّا وَجْهُهُ فَجَمِيلٌ. يعني وَلَمْ أَرَى, I have not seen. يعني this is the مجزوم form of the مضاري verb, يعني أنا أرى, but here the ألف مكسورة is deleted because it's مجزوم by لم. وَلَمْ أَرَى كَالْمَعْرُوفِ, I have not seen anything like a good deed. I have not seen the like of kal ma'rufi, the thing that is a good deed. I have not seen anything that's like a good deed, that's equal to it, that's as beautiful or valuable as a good deed. And why? Amma madhaquhu fahulwun, as far as its taste, it is sweet. A good deed, it tastes good, it feels good. Wa amma wajhuhu fajamilu, and as far as its face, how it looks, the way you, when you see it, yani its face is beautiful. I haven't seen anything good. I haven't seen anything like a good deed. Its taste is sweet and its face is beautiful. Meaning, the good deed, there's nothing like a good deed. It tastes good, it feels good, and it also looks good. It's not ugly. And this is the end of the lesson. We're going to stop here with this. And I'll just remind us that I feel that we have, taken our time with this lesson. I don't feel that we have raced through it. So I hope that you feel the same way, that we didn't race through this lesson and we covered it, yani, pretty thoroughly. And I hope that if everybody has been doing the homework assignments, inshallah, then we would have, yani, comprehended and benefited from what is explained here in this particular lesson. All the points that are explained in this lesson. There are a lot of points in this lesson. Alhamdulillah, we took enough time so that everybody should have had a good chance to read them and review them and memorize some of the points and do exercises with them, so that when we go into the next lesson, what we studied in this lesson, even if it's a lot of points, yani the English key goes up to point number 12, right? So that's a lot of points. But I mean, we've been doing it for 1 month, so it should have been sufficient time, inshallah. Not too much rushing. And most of the people who gave me feedback said that the pace we were going was good. All right, so alhamdulillah, we also got a chance to review lessons 16 and 17 from level 3, which are really, really important and are in line with the lessons that we're going to be taking from here on. Especially the next lesson, 19, is going to be right in line with lesson 16 and 17. It's going to be another thulathi verb, mazid, yani, with its explanation of the past tense form, the present tense form, the command form, the masdar, and the asma, al-fa'il, wal-maf'ul, wal-zaman, wal-makan. And that's going to be the format, and then we're going to go into several other points like we did with this lesson. Yani, there are 11 points in the English key of this lesson as well, grammar and yani, nahu wa sarf, both yani, composition of sentences and composition of words. 11 points in lesson 19. You can start now, yani, if you're free now or after Maghrib. Start with this lesson, reading the English key. Inshallah, tomorrow I'll try to send out a breakdown for the week of how much we're going to be able to cover in the first session for this lesson. Obviously, it's going to take us a few weeks to do this lesson as it did with lesson 18. It may take us 3 weeks or even 4 weeks. But in any case, tomorrow I'll try to break it down. What we're going to be able to cover in the next session, we'll have for homework so that you can preview the lesson, read the English key, read the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson, and start looking at the exercises. Okay, so we'll at least take the English key. And hopefully, maybe, we'll also be able to take the dialogue. Hopefully, we'll be able to take the dialogue as well. The English key is like 5 pages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. So, yeah. I mean, even if we did 1 page a day, we're definitely going to complete the English key. And probably, we'll do the dialogue. Yeah, and probably, we'll do the English key and the dialogue. Well, the dialogue is, wow, dialogue is 3 pages. Okay, so we'll see. We're not going to rush it, but anyway, we're going to at least do the English key. And perhaps we'll do the dialogue and any comprehensive questions. If we can't complete all of that, it's okay. We'll just do whatever we can. We have 7 days starting with tonight. We have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday up until we do the class. So anyway, we have at least 6 days. I'll give you 6 assignments, inshallah, for these 6 days starting with Monday. Please, and you stay on top of this thing. Do as much as you can to be reading regularly. And reading the English keys so that you keep the points in your mind. Reading the dialogue so that you practice your reading skills, your pronunciation of words, your comprehension, and your recognition of the grammar that we have studied and the vocabulary that we have taken in previous lessons as well as the present lesson. Okay, I hope that everybody is going to benefit from this course. It is a tremendous course, this level 4 course. Not many people finish it. And if you are of those who Allah blessed to finish it, indeed, at the end of it, you will definitely feel like you have and you reached a good level. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you, that He grant us a tawfiq, the success to do whatever we do and whatever we say, that we say it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, and that whatever we say and do is in accordance with the pure, authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah recognize, reward, and record each of our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us a thabat, yani to be firm, to be steadfast upon a sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant any speedy recovery and complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick from amongst the Muslims, and that He shower His mercy upon those who have passed away, that He forgive and pardon them, and that He expand and make spacious their graves and fill it with light, and that He protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.